from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's get a little more insight into our team, the Browns, that is. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports is currently sitting there, right there, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, friend of the show, Charles Robinson. Hi, Charles. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Charles?
We are good. I'm just curious your thoughts on the latest news out of Browns camp about the soreness that Deshaun Watson has, and there was at one point everyone thought he was going to play on Saturday, and now not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was I don't want to say convenient, but I mean, you know, the whole, like, all right, this is the plan for him to play in the final preseason game. Everybody knew it was a risk, right? We all knew, and it's sort of like, all right, how does this not happen? And then the soreness, you know, the general soreness pops up. And to me, it feels convenient. I know, you know, I saw the freak out. Oh, my God, you know, Deshaun Watson's limited in practice with arm soreness. But I'm like, the easiest way to completely just decide to bypass that final preseason game is something like this. So I guess I would just say I'm a little skeptical. Had he not practiced at all, had it been like, hey, he just didn't go out there that day, it would have been, I think I would have been a little more alarmed by it, especially just kind of knowing how it lines up with the circumstance of that last preseason game and everything. It just feels too convenient to me to be an excuse to shut that down and make sure that he's not risked in that final preseason game. I'm not going overboard about this. I don't know if, like, people who weren't there seemed to definitely go overboard about it. I feel like people who were there were a little less, I guess, pushing red buttons. I could be wrong, but it just feels, again, convenient to me when you knew you had to get him out of that preseason game.
So your thought seems to be the same as ours. So far, no concern about not being ready for Dallas.
I'll put it to you this way. Like, I corresponded with someone, you know, since all this came out, and I didn't get any. There wasn't anything to me that wasn't like any panic. It didn't seem like there was any like real panic over it or anything. I'm like, okay, this kind of feels like a situation that's now averted in terms of that last preseason game. I don't think, unless Kevin comes out and signals that there's some kind of a complication heading into that first game, I think this is what it is. It's just him he's not going to roll out there for the final preseason game. And that's very easy now to push that off and just move on.
And to put it on him rather than any questions they may have with the offensive line, because I mean, that's been the talk of camp, you know, for the last 3 weeks.
Sure.
Is, yeah, what's going on with that offensive line. And how, you know, you were just saying, you were talking to, how concerned are they with the offensive line? Is Jack Conklin going to be able to play? Is Jed Wills going to be able to play? Are they going to be able,
right,
to, you know,
it's all the health.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't, I mean, that's the whole thing is what were we just talking about, or what was everyone just talking about there prior to this quote unquote arm soreness situation? It was, how can this guy go out there now with all these, like, whatever the plan was, how can you possibly risk him if you've got all these, you know, offensive line concerns in terms of like health and who can be out there and who can't, you know, it's, I was in tune with that. I'm like, yeah, that's, that does not to me seem like it would be wise at this stage, given, you know, the realities of what's going on with the offensive line. So it's, I think it's a much more convenient way to get around this than to say, hey, there's concerns about the offensive line health and what's this unit going to look like in, you know, preseason game one, to me is a much bigger, you know, conversation point than, you know, a quarterback who's, by the way, coming off of a surgery. And that's another thing too. Like when Brock Purdy went through what he went through last off season, you know, there were maintenance days for him too, where it was, you know, it was coined as arm soreness. It's just, okay, he's throwing again. There's fatigue. It's just, nobody comes off of that, even if there's a ramp-up process, and then all of a sudden it's just 100% full go. They're not Terminators, okay? Like, they go out, and there are going to be situations where you do take a maintenance day, or you just let them know that, hey, you know, you've been throwing a lot. There's a reason why there are camp arms, all these different things, and, you know, to not use that when you feel like, hey, here's an opportunity to use it. We can really accomplish two things in one. Again, because the second that came out, I'm like, oh, he's not playing. Like, there you go. Now that's off the table. That's taken care of. And there doesn't have to be a long drawn out, you know, conversation about, you know, the fear of getting him hurt and what's the offensive line health like. And I think you just kind of now move past that.
Charles, all kinds of stuff being written heading into an NFL season. We see that all the time. One of the things I love to read, which teams will step up this year, which teams are due to fall off. I read more than a few times people writing Browns are due to fall off. If you had to go one way or another, do they take a step forward or do they take a step back?
Well, I mean, look, from a talent standpoint, the Browns are, I don't see any reason why they would take a step back unless, again, these injuries, especially along the offensive line, end up being something that they take root and it becomes a continual problem. I think there's a plan. I am convinced, at least going through there, that if they really wanted to push Nick Chubb and get him back and rolling early in the season, they could do that. I think I really do believe they are very settled on the three-headed rotation beyond Chubb holding down the running game until he comes back. I think they feel like they can have a ramp process with Nick Chubb that will make him, from the midpoint of the season on, you know, where they'll have him exactly the way they want him in that offensive lineup. I, you know, Judy, we'll see. You know, there's definitely some we'll see elements, but, you know, going through there, Jamari Thrash was doing some things in practice where I'm like, what is going on? How are they getting contributions from this guy? Like, there was some, I think, a little bit of surprise on my part in terms of maybe the depth, a little more depth there in the wide receivers than I initially first thought, you know, especially if Cedric Tillman can take another step forward. I just think the depth chart to me looks very good. I loved Martin Emerson doing what he did against the Vikings, and I don't think Justin Jefferson was shining him out. I think Justin Jefferson was being legitimate about, you know, hey, this we went at it. You know, so I look at the coaching staff. I don't want to say everyone, but look, if the offensive line, if there's struggles or issues or whatever, I think people are going to bring up Bill Callahan, right? And it's just an interesting conversation because, you know, I think the thought process with Bill Callahan is there's a time where he is at his apex, and that is when you have a young group and you're building up to a certain point and you know, you really are grinding on guys in practice and you're really trying to turn a corner. And then there is, I don't want to say an element of diminishing returns, but you get to a stage where once you have veterans, if they're all healthy and they're starting all your veterans, they're kind of where they need to be. And you don't necessarily need, you know, a Callahan grinding on them every day in practice. So I think they're, if everybody's healthy on that offensive line, maybe that's mitigated a little bit. But I would not be surprised if that becomes, you know, a conversation, because I can tell you when you went through other places and you were talking about the Browns or you were talking about the Titans, it was like everyone's, wow, what a great addition for the Titans to bring that, you know, that guy in for their young offensive line. How much is that going to hurt Cleveland? But again, from the talent standpoint, the depth chart, the two deep, this is a really good team, and it's got a really good coaching staff. And I think the entire storyline to me, and again, the offensive line can affect this, it's Deshaun, right? That's it. Mm-hmm. Like, I come through and you talk to him in the organization. I literally said to the brain trust there, the way I absorb everything's about Deshaun. Does Deshaun stay healthy? Does he play 17 games? Does he take that step forward that's really necessary? And I feel like there's a lot of agreement in that.
Hmm. Charles, how do you see the Browns stacking up against the AFC North? And I also think it's weird that they're not going to see the AFC North until they see Cincinnati in week 7, and they don't see Pittsburgh till week 12.
Yeah, it's weird the way that when you look at the schedule and sort of how it stacks up down the stretch. And I got to look at their schedule. I feel like I was looking at the Browns schedule when I was coming in, and the late element of the schedule I thought was, let me look at it again. You hit the AFC North late, and then not only do you hit the AFC North late, but it's just, you know, look at the end of the schedule, right? I mean, it's like, especially December through January, you know, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Miami, Baltimore, you know, it's a heavy finish. It does stack up a little bit weird, but as far as the AFC North goes, I saw everybody except for the Bengals, but you know, I've kind of been keeping up with what's been going on there as well. I don't know what the Bengals are going to look like because I don't know how this Ja'Marr Chase situation is going to manifest itself. T. Higgins is already sideways on the fact that, you know, he wants the raise, isn't going to get it, and going to have to play through it. You know, the Chase situation is going to have to be sorted out. I don't know about that one. Like, I don't know why people aren't paying more attention to this, because I really believe everyone's kind of looked at that and said, well, he wants $35 million APY. It might be north of that. I really think they're having a hard time sitting there going, okay, we're going to pay this guy $35 to $37 million APY. How's the money structure going to look like? All these, I think it's a harder deal to get done, and I don't know if it's going to get done by the time the season starts, and that's not great for that team. Baltimore, I went through there and I'm like, okay, the wide receiver position is thin, clearly, and they're clearly counting on Rashad Bateman. The answer I got was, we're going to roll more heavy stuff out there. Isaiah Likely is going to take a bigger portion of the offense this year. If Derrick Henry gets hurt, I think that dramatically affects, you know, what can happen there, and he's not young. You know, defensively, losing Mike McDonald, you know, Zach Orr, there's a lot of curiosity about what's it going to look like, this guy calling. I mean, the youngest coordinator in the NFL this year, I believe he is at 32. And there's, you know, a lot of curiosity about what is his game calling going to look like, especially after McDonald did such a, you know, high level job last year. Pittsburgh, I mean, I think they still don't know who their quarterback is. And even if Russ has a smidge of a lead right now, I think he still has to accomplish something between now and the kickoff, the first game of the season, for them to feel completely solid on him being their starting quarterback. And I still believe there's a feeling in the building like, hey, we have a quarterback that does something dynamic. It's not Russ. It's Justin Fields, and he has a running element to his game that is far more dynamic than anything Russ really brings to the table. So Russ has to be that high-level veteran that we expect. He just does the things we expect him to do. And if he isn't doing that, then what are we doing here? Like, well, how are we sticking with that guy? So it's messy inside there a little bit. The Ayuk thing, right, is dragging on. When I go through there, they're kind of like, what's going on with this? Like, we're sitting here waiting for some kind of resolution. They're not hearing anything. Their phones are silent, and they're not sure, is San Francisco trying to get a deal done with Ayuk? Or is San Francisco calling around the league, offering the picks that Pittsburgh was offering for Ayuk to see if, okay, we'll do basically a three-way trade here. We'll send Ayuk to Pittsburgh. We'll take Pittsburgh's picks, send them to another team to get a veteran player. So, I mean, they're hanging in two big senses that the wide receiver spot is thin right now with Roman Wilson hurt and not knowing if they can add an Ayuk, and then quarterback still not being sorted out. So it's, you know, maybe Browns fans are a little bit concerned about what other people think about the Browns right now, but the two deep to me looks as good as anybody else, I believe, in terms of just overall top to bottom talent, balance between the offensive and defensive talent, the coaching staff. I think the Browns are as good as anybody in the AFC North, and the rest of the AFC North has messes top to bottom. So take heart, Browns fans. There's plenty of other white knuckling going on elsewhere in the division.
Charles Robinson joining us from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what happens at quarterback in Dallas? Are they going to give Dak the biggest contract we've ever seen, or are they going to let him play out his free agent year and see what happens in the offseason next year?
I will just lean on when like the people who do deals in the league, the other GMs who are dialed in and typically have a really good sense of how things are going to play out. When I asked Stephen Jones, I went through Dallas early on, and we were talking about wide receiver pay, and I was asking him, like, how do we kind of get here with wide receivers and the money flying? And at one point I asked him, like, you know, historically kind of rank your hierarchy in terms of paying guys. And he just flat out said, he's like, look, quarterback's one, edge rusher's two. So I'm like, okay, that's not wide receiver. And you have an edge rusher who wants $35 million APY, you know, minimum next offseason. So I would tend to think your priority list is getting Dak done and getting Micah done. And maybe to me, that's why CeeDee Lamb has drug on as long as he has, because there was, I think, initially an idea of like, well, CeeDee, maybe he's a $30 million wide receiver. Problem is CeeDee thinks he's as good as Justin Jefferson. So if Justin Jefferson is making, you know, $35 million APY plus, I think CeeDee Lamb thinks I'm worth that. And it's a tough spot for them to be in. And the one position I think they could sacrifice and get the other two guys done, it's Dak. But I don't see it, and I think other decision makers in the league don't see how they could possibly let him walk, because there's literally no plan B. It's not Trey Lance. He's not your plan B. There's no other plan B on the horizon. And to me, if Dak leaves, it's a pivot point for the franchise, in which I don't know that Mike McCarthy is back. I don't know. You know, I think a lot then changes organizationally in terms of which way you're going. And it might be a coach change. It might be a quarterback change. It might be a lot of wholesale changes. And I think the flip side of that is just a lot more normalcy. You pay Dak and you're probably going to have to sacrifice, whether it's, you know, ride it out with CeeDee and then make that decision next offseason between CeeDee and Micah, or, you know, just sign CeeDee, Micah, and Dak, and then go, okay, here are the other four positions where we're going to lose a starter and sacrifice. Because that's really what it is. You know, that's what they're struggling with. They're going, it's not a one-for-one. We don't sign Dak and lose a player. We don't sign CeeDee and lose a player. We don't sign Micah and lose a player. We probably lose two players for every one of these that we sign. So we keep three, we lose, you know, six. So it's a net minus of three players. That's reality that they're looking at.
Charles, is it me, or does it just feel like there's more pressure this year to get rid of the preseason? And maybe it's just because what the commissioner said, but do you think that this is now going to get fast?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fast track that we're going to see it sooner, where we don't see preseason games, and how are they going to replace them? What will they do?
It's the joints. I mean, I think there is a feeling, maybe it's not across the league, but certainly a lot of organizations feel like they get more quality work done in preseason or in joint practices than they do in preseason games, because they look at the preseason games and they go, realistically, how many snaps, competitive snaps, does our first team offense get? Well, even for the teams that are playing their first team offenses, and that's very few now, it's limited. And then you have a number of teams that just go, we're not rolling anybody out there of consequence. It's just not happening. And then you have, like, I went through Atlanta, and it was early on where Atlanta, it started to become clear that they're like, yeah, we might only look at our second team once, and we're not even going to roll those guys out more than one time in this preseason in terms of the bulk of our key backups. And I think more teams are also leaning that direction where they're not just putting out they're not just sitting down first team guys. They're sitting down all the key second team guys. You're sitting there going, well, okay, it's not 22 guys aren't going to play in this preseason game. It's 35. And then, like, realistically, is that better than one day of joint practices? Or if you want to risk the potential fights, 2 days of joint practices? A lot of organizations will tell you no. So I think if the 18th game gets added, I wouldn't be surprised if preseason games, they'll definitely get whittled down to two. I wouldn't be shocked if it was, like, even whittled down to one at some point. And then what ends up happening is there's just a ramping of these joint practices. But it's more of a one day of joint practices rather than multiple days of joint practices. You know, like, to me, I think it's kind of getting to the point where it's going to be one or two anyway, regardless of you know, how teams feel about fighting or not. The one thing I'm curious about, though, is just the expense of joint practices. And, you know, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to have five joint practice sessions in the preseason? Are you going to have four? Are you going to try to do, you know, like, if you're doing one day of joint practices, but you do it against three teams, is, like, how much does that really help your situation? You know, so to me, it's, how does expense play into it? And I'm with you, though. I think the preseason games are getting more and more meaningless now as teams aren't, they're not putting anybody out there. And what's, at this point, what's the, realistically, what are you really looking at? You're dialing in, you know, 10 players at the bottom of the 53 and trying to figure out what you're going to do with practice squad.
It's true. Charles, thank you. As always, you know, we love talking to you and we're always reading you on Yahoo Sports. Thanks a million.
Thank you, Charles.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
Talk to you soon. That is the number to get on board with the show, or if you want to hop on social media, you're always welcome to, on the X at CLE Talking. So we had Charles Robinson on, well-known, well-respected NFL writer.
Big time.
Yahoo Sports. I'm still trying to figure out how he became friends with Dan.
How did that happen?
How did your relationship start?
I mean, he's got much higher standards than you.
I've been telling him that for years, and for some reason we hassle each other.
It does seem odd.
You know, you just meet good people and you talk to them a little bit and realize you got a couple things in common, and then all of a sudden you know each other, you know? That's how any friendship goes.
Let's see. You and Charles each have a first name. There's one thing you have in common.
He has more letters.
Has he ever had cheese curds?
I don't know.
I would think that would probably be the connector.
That might be next, yeah.
You know, you just get to know people.
After
that's the
that,
nice part
after
of
that, Andy, I don't have a clue.
It's the fun part of this business. Sometimes you just get to know some cool people.
All right. Then there's a basket and films.
Yeah, and then
sorry.
You listen to us.
Hey, you're pretty cool to know.
Yeah.
You keep telling yourself that.
Tell our kids.
Yeah. 216-474-0092. So, you know, obviously the story of today was that Deshaun Watson got held out of practice. And he's got soreness. And so now you're like, well, the starters were told to be ready to play on Saturday night at Seattle. The team leaves today on the 5-hour flight over to Seattle after they're done with their practice. And so they'll be ready to go, and then they'll set up shop in the world's farthest away preseason game you pretty much could have for this team. I guess, San Diego doesn't have a team anymore. So it would have to be Seattle. And so now you look at this and you're like, what's going on? We've got this quarterback that's been here for a few years, and we haven't seen a whole lot out of him. He hasn't played a lot. And now all of a sudden, now we're heading into the final preseason game of the year where we thought he was going to get some reps. We thought we'd get a chance to see him before the regular season starts. And then this happens, the soreness. And so we asked Charles, you know, is it remain calm or is it panic time? Here's what he said.
It feels convenient. I know, you know, I saw the freak out. Oh, my God, you know, Deshaun Watson's limited in practice with arm soreness. But I'm like, the easiest way to completely just decide to bypass that final preseason game is something like this. So I guess I would just say I'm a little skeptical. Had he not practiced at all, had it been like, hey, he just didn't go out there that day, it would have been, I think I would have been a little more alarmed by it, especially just kind of knowing how it lines up with the circumstance of that last preseason game and everything. It just feels too convenient to me to be an excuse to shut that down and make sure that he's not risked in that final preseason game. I'm not going overboard about this. I saw like people who weren't there seemed to definitely go overboard about it. I feel like people who were there were a little less, I guess, pushing red buttons. I could be wrong, but it just feels, again, convenient to me when you knew you had to get him out of that preseason game.
All right. Convenient to the Browns that maybe perhaps you're a couple of offensive linemen who can't play in this game aren't going to be there, so you want to be able to protect him. Or convenient that he may have a little bit of a soreness issue that would want to keep him out. Or just straight up, hey, we want to make sure our guys stay safe, so we're not going to throw him in the last game.
So if that were the case, wouldn't Kevin just say that rather than incredible speculation that, oh my God, is he injured? Is he not healthy? Is he not able to go against Dallas? Is this going to be a problem?
Let me back up here. If he felt his offensive line couldn't protect him the way he needed to be protected, he would have said soreness. But I thought Mary Kay made a great point this morning on the morning show when she said she doesn't want to throw, or he doesn't want to throw any of his offensive linemen under the bus, saying, look, I'm sorry, we're just not confident that this backup is going to be able to be the guy we want. Now, who knows? It could be, you know, the first game of the season and may be forced to be in that position. So, you know, so here's what Mary Kay said. Here's what Mary Kay said this morning.
The other thing, and they are not going to come right out and say this, but the second part of the equation is the fact that they have issues at left tackle. And what is everyone going to say? What are they going to say and do if their left tackle woes result in an injury to Deshaun Watson? So it might not be prudent to play him in this game for that reason, too.
She's right. So, I mean, you're not going to throw your offensive line under the bus, and it might be just convenient and easy to say, look, you know, and he may genuinely be dealing with some soreness. So why throw anybody under the bus and just say, hey, Deshaun's just dealing with this? And by the way, if we get to the Dallas game and Deshaun looks great, no one cares what was said on August 22nd or August 21st about the fact your starting quarterback missed the last game of the preseason. If he looks rusty in the first game, people are going to be like, man, you didn't get him the work he needed to be ready for this first game, so now we're watching him throw the ball into the ground like he did when he originally came back. Hopefully that's not something we'll
see.
And
that wasn't good, was it?
No, not at all.
That was a pretty bad deal. My only concern here, Andy, my only thought is, if that were the case, Kevin could have easily just said, you know what, we're comfortable with where he is right now, and so he's not going to play, and ended it. And because there's, you know, just a little bit of everybody perhaps thinking.
Then the next question back at Kevin is, then Kevin, why did you say he was going to play last week?
Because we thought he would, but, you know, he had a good week of practice, so we're good to go.
All right, and the quarterback room thought this is the best way we should do it, and we should feel the grass under our feet, too.
The room has feelings.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. What do you think? 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.